I am blessed to have. So the schedule is like this. Oh, printout has come. Printout has come. You can. So this we have Solina Chandramouli Maharaj here. Maharaj will sing A Anilo Premadana. We all can sing with him. And followed by that, we will have a video lecture of Maharaj for 20 to 30 minutes. We can all have the hear the lecture and see Maharaj speak on Bhagavatam. And it will be over by about 7:30, 7:40. And followed by that, we will have glorification and remembrance of Maharaj, starting with Solina Chandramouli Maharaj, and followed by devotees like Shyamlal Prabhu, and who served Maharaj in his last days in the Bhaktivinoda Hospital, and by the disciples of Maharaj, and also the other devotees who have had a personal association or even any kind of vani association with Maharaj. So let's all have this program a memorable one, and thank you so much again for coming.
So it is Vaishnav culture and Vaishnav mood of remembrance on the departure of great souls to sing this beautiful heartfelt prayer given by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Sasparsada Bhagavad Viraha Janiti Lipa. Lamentation due to separation from the Lord and his associates, from Parthana by Narottam Das. Yehanilo prema dhana karuna prachu. Ha 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 ha.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama. Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Vaishnav Thakur, Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Hare Vaishnav. Mm-hmm. Dhyaya Vaishnav Thakur, Vaishnav Thakur, Vaishnav Thakur, Dhyaya Vaishnav Thakur, Aya, Aya. Jaya Mahavishnu Goswami, Mahavishnu Goswami, Mahavishnu Goswami, Mahavishnu Goswami. Nithai Gaur Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Gaur Hari Bhav. Nithai Gaur Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Gaur Hari Bhav. His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj Ki.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Now we are going to watch a video of Maharaj. So if you can all turn towards the screen and make yourself comfortable. Maybe a little bit too closer for you. You can squeeze yourself a little bit behind and. Dubai. And Maharaj used to travel very frequently to Dubai, Sharjah, all the Middle East cities and countries, and he has done a lot of preaching there. And Maharaj is basically talking about the futility of the material body. From these shlokas that Maharaj is explaining are from the Bhagavata Mahatmya section in the Padma Purana. So he has his own way, as you might have seen. You might not have understood most of it, but he has a very interesting, humorous way of putting the most indigestible fact across us, our thick brains. So with this, I would like to move on to the next program. His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj will speak a few words about Maharaj and glorification of him. Thank you so much.
Om Agyan Timidandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swampadantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So I would like to thank all the devotees for coming and taking part in this very important, very auspicious occasion to honor one of the most dear disciples of Srila Prabhupada, His Holiness Mahavishnu Maharaj. I have to express some sadness in my own part. And that sadness is, as I was listening this morning to the devotees speak about Maharaj and also tonight, I was just thinking I had should have took more opportunity to get Maharaj's association. I did have some association, but when I look at it in retrospect, it was hardly anything that I mean, I could have took much, much more time to take his association. But as Providence pushes us one way, we are trying to follow Srila Prabhupada by preaching. And when our paths meet, we are very fortunate to have association with such great souls. My relationship with Maharaj goes back to Minneapolis, Minnesota, in America, back in the late 90s and very beginning of the turn of the 21st century. And we met on many occasions, and I was always listening, and he was always speaking. And that's the way I liked it, because he had so much to say. As we can see from this pretty succinct presentation of Maharaj and the nature of the material energy in relationship to the material body, he is clear. He's completely detached from everything of this material world and sees the futility of everything material. And that's the quality of a great soul. They know that, as Srila Prabhupada once said, he was on a morning walk in Mexico City, with his devotees, and they were walking, and they passed a large dumpster, a place where you throw your garbage. And on the side of the dumpster, there was some writing, which was in Spanish. And so Srila Prabhupada asked the devotees, "What does that say?" And one devotee said, "Prabhupada, it says, place your garbage here." Prabhupada said, "Yes, we should put the whole material world there." So when I listen to Mahavishnu Maharaj, I get that same mood. And another quality of a great soul is prasannatma, yasoshati nakangsasi sama sarveshu bhuteshu labhate. What is the last line? The great soul is prasannatma. It means that always joyful. Why? Because they're experiencing the presence of Krishna within their life in such a powerful way. And that joyfulness helps them to see the futility of everything material. I remember I was sitting, I would just sit and listen to Maharaj because I was so enthralled. I was always inspired by people who would smash the material energy. I just loved to hear it. You know, there was sometimes you hear people speak and they always give some concessionary aspect to material life and speak about it in a very marginal way that, you know, there's some value to it. There is some value, and it is an opportunity to get out of material life. Material life is an opportunity to get back to Krishna, that's all. It's like you use the example of a thorn. If a thorn gets put into one's foot by some circumstance, the best way to remove the thorn is to get another thorn and pull that thorn out, and then you take both thorns and you throw them away. So this purpose of this material energy is to somehow to use it as an opportunity to get out of it. And that is through by using whatever Krishna has given us in the service of the Lord. So I would sit and listen to Maharaj's talks, and I would be amazed because he was so bold, and sometimes he would shock his audiences. Because when you come to America, it's not the same as being in India. Even if many of our temples in America are inhabited by a lot of the Indian congregation, but the mood is different.
the mood is different, and people are not, many of them are not ready to hear, you know, the complete understanding of, you know, material life and what it really is. So preaching in America, sometimes you have to, you know, spice it up, make it a little sweet, add some, you know, garnishes here and there, and serve it with a nice smile and make it sound like it's not so bad, but still there's something better. But Maharaj wasn't like that. He would just complete. I remember I was at a Sunday feast lecture in Chicago, and he was speaking, and he was saying, "You watch television, you're becoming stupid. The more you watch, the more stupid you become." So, everyone, listen to this, please. Please take your television and throw it in Lake Michigan. Because that's the lake right near Chicago, which is one of the biggest lakes. You should take it and throw it in Lake Michigan. It'll be a great service to your own self. And people are not ready to hear that. Yeah, because especially even now in India, that's a revolutionary way of preaching. So, but that's the way he would speak. Peak. And people would be, because he was pure in his presentation, although he was speaking sometimes in such a way that would shock his audiences, really shock them sometimes. I would watch them. Still, they would listen. They would listen because of his purity, because of his compassion, because of his complete devotion. And therefore he could speak like that. Prabhupada was also like that. But sometimes if those of us who are not on that platform, if we try to imitate that, we sound quite foolish. And people don't take us seriously. But he was there in that sense. He had that realization. My experiences with Maharaj was, as far as helping me in my devotional service, of course, just by his association, I was always inspired. But one thing, he really helped me to understand the importance of learning verses. Whenever he would see me, he would say, "Let's learn this verse." He knew the verse, but he would always ask me, you know, he would teach us. Sometimes we'd be a small group of three or four, we'd be sitting with him, or maybe a little larger group, and he would find a verse, and he would go through the verse line by line, word by word, explaining each word and making sure we memorize the verse. There's two verses that I can still remember was the ones that he made me learn, and still one I have forgotten, so I haven't learned it perfectly yet. But there was a verse from the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Apanam samstritim gauram yanmanam vishwasam grinam. What is it? Bibeti svayam bayam. That simply once chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, once can destroy fear, all fear. Fear personified becomes destroyed by the chanting of the holy name of Krishna just once. He loved that verse. And the way he presented it was so, what we say, it was like presenting Krishna in the form of a verse. It was like presenting Krishna in the form of a verse. So that was his mood. Always as Kala Chakra, I've known him for many years, even before he became disciple of Maharaj. We used to go up to Minneapolis and we would do programs and I would meet him up there. But when Maharaj started to come, because I remember he was looking for a guru, he was serious. And then when Maharaj came, he said, "This is my spiritual master." He was convinced. After Maharaj started to come regularly to Minneapolis and give wonderful lectures and inspire us all, he invited me once to come to India, to Rajkot, to spend some time there, just to be with him. I said I would come, unfortunately, because at that time I was doing a lot of traveling and a lot of, what we say, going to places that were somewhere required for me to be there. I never really made it, and to this day I'm feeling quite unhappy that I didn't get a chance to associate him in his place where he really developed a beautiful temple, wonderful guest house, many, many wonderful devotees. He loved that place, and he gave his life to build it so nicely, and as everyone can see. So we are feeling the loss of such a great personality, because these personalities, they represent Krishna. They bring Krishna into our life. They bring realization of Krishna into our life. They inspire us in renunciation. They inspire us in devotional service. And they help us to get over the attachments that are so much living with us life after life. Maharaj came to London. I think it was a few years before he actually left the planet, and he was there. And that's the time he had a stroke, I think. It was the year 2000 in London. And he came out one day to give class, and he gave a wonderful, powerful class, but it was just too much for his physical situation, so he actually didn't do much preaching after that. And he was struggling with health. He did get better after that for many years, but then, of course, he lived a long life, 91 years old. Mm-hmm. And the last 20 years of his life, he was simply traveling and preaching. I was used to be amazed. How is it possible at such an advanced age that he could travel so regularly and preach so boldly and just inspire so many devotees? But that was his devotion, that was his determination. And he never looked old. But you would look at him and you never could see, actually understand it of his age. Even looking at the film there, that's 1996. He's about 77 years old at that time, something like that. He looks like 50, maybe. He looks very vibrant, very young, very jolly. So he exhibited all the good qualities of a Vaishnava. And of course, as Radhanath Maharaj said this morning, and we can't really repeat it enough, he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die when Vaishnavas live in sound. Vaishnavas die to live, and while living they spread the holy name around. So although they depart from our personal presence, somewhere else they're doing the same thing. What is that? Glorifying the Lord and glorifying the Lord's holy name. So we have so much to be grateful to Krishna for bringing in our lives such great personalities who can inspire us in devotional service, which is ultimately the goal of life. As we go on in life, more and more we learn more and more that really everything really centers around devotion to Krishna. Whatever we're doing, whoever we are, whatever our material situation is, it's all external. The real goal of life, and the only goal of life, not when we say real goal of life, that means we might be able to compare it to some other goal, but actually the only goal of life is prema pumartha mahan, is to develop our love for Krishna and to go back to Krishna in this spiritual world and not have again to take birth in this material world, which is simply another form of suffering. So we are grateful that Krishna has sent us such an inspiring and powerful personality to help us in our devotional life and to bring us to the lotus feet of the Lord. So, again, I feel a little unhappy, a lot unhappy, because I didn't take as much association as Maharaj was able to give. But now his devotees are here, and I'm getting his association through his devotees. So I'm thankful for that. Srila Mahavishnu Swami Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj. So, Chandramali Swami Maharaj ki jai. Next, we kindly invite Grisa Srinathji Prabhu to come and share a few words with us. Please.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Putale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshtarine. When I came to know that I had to speak today, I thought I'd do a little research. So I went to the ISKCON Desire Tree site. And by mistake, I typed out Mahavishnu Swami. And I was surprised that there was a American gentleman, American body, or British. I thought it was American, but it's British. And I said, there's something wrong somewhere. Either the site is wrong or I'm wrong. Usually I'm wrong. So then I carefully once more looked at the card, and I saw it is Goswami Maharaj. So I typed out Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, and this is what I got. Firstly, I'd like to break my whatever I have to say in two parts. One is the official ISKCON part. Is it alright? Should I read this out? Is it alright? His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj was born in the outskirts of Mumbai in 1920 on the auspicious day of Dattatre Purnima in the month of Marga Shishya. He appeared in a family of Vaishnavs since 8 generations. So he was the 9th generation Vaishnav. That speaks volumes. He is the most elder, means he is the eldest sannyasi in ISKCON when this was printed. Obviously, 91 is a very long age. Highly educated, with MA degrees in both English and Sanskrit, Maharaj effectively was a multilingualist, knowing Marathi, Gujarati, Hindi, Urdu, Sanskrit, and English. Since childhood, Maharaj was always filled with a burning desire to understand the Vaishnava traditions and practices grew up with in his village. Lord Krishna responded to Maharaj's devotional service when one morning along Oxford Street, London, Maharaj as a householder chanced upon a group of Hare Krishna devotees, that is in 1973, and these devotees were chanting and dancing in the busy street. Oxford Street is a main street, like our Dada Navroji Road, Dian Road. And he met these devotees, and almost instantaneously, he got very attracted to the kirtan. He was then invited by the president of the, no, at that time he was a president of the London Gujarati Community Society, and he was invited by Srila Prabhupada to be guest of honor at the society's annual function. That means before he was even initiated, Prabhupada recognized him as a great Vaishnava and made him also the guest of honor. Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj enshrined Srila Prabhupada's instructions in his heart. Whatever Prabhupada said, he immediately took it to his heart. Fulfilled all his family affairs very responsibly, and the Lord made all the arrangements for him to enter Vanaprastha life in 1980, where he took up residence in Soho Street Temple, London, and received initiation as Mahavishnu Das Vanachari. In 1991, Maharaj accepted his second initiation and the renounced order of the life, sannyasi, on the auspicious appearance of Lord Narsingadev from H.H. Shivaram Swami. In 1996, Maharaj took another significant step in preaching efforts when he arrived in the holy dham of Dwarka, and in 2003, ISKCON's first temple made completely in stone and in accordance with our ancient Vedic heritage was completed amidst great celebrations. I happen to have gone to Dwarka. I'll talk to you about it in the second part. Despite his advanced age, his frail health, and his hectic preaching tours and powerful and pure preaching, Maharaj was accessible to everyone, to many devotees around the world, whether they were his disciples or not. Maharaj was like a loving spiritual father, and anyone could turn to him and they would be inspired, and all their spiritual and physical problems were solved because he guided them and he saw to it that there were no troubles. Now I just calculated, when Maharaj was on this planet, there were 51 sannyasis in ISKCON, and he was, as per the alphabetic order, he was 29, number 29. So this is the official ISKCON note. So as I mentioned, I took my family on, because I am also taken Vanaprastha. So my wife, myself, my younger son Chaitanya, his wife, children, and so on, some other members of the family, we all went to Dwarka. When we went to Dwarka, we first zoomed in on our ISKCON temple, but it was locked. So we thought, we checked the neighbors, and we found out that there was a big festival somewhere else, and they would be coming back in the evening. So we thought, let's use this time to go to the main Dwarkadish temple and so many other, you know, there is a kund known as Gopi Chandan Kund. The story is that the gopis, when they had come there, as you know, this Jagannath, they were thought of pulling the rath and so on. But these gopis turned to Chandan, actually. So when we apply this tilak, Gopi Chandan, it's actually originally from this kund at Dwarka, where the gopis' bodies turn to Gopi Chandan. That's how the name Gopi Chandan comes. So by the time it was evening, after having darshan of all around Dwarka, I thought that Maharaj may come. I was very eager to meet him. So then we all went to the temple, and one devotee came. So that was even something. So the temple was open, he was doing aarti and everything, and he was so happy to see seven of us come. So he said, you'll be having prasadam with us? I said, well, I would be happy to have prasadam with you. But where's your cook? He said, I'm the cook. I said, oh, really? And where is Maharaj? That is Vishnu Goswami Maharaj, Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. He says, he'll be coming tonight. About 6-7 people are coming, devotees are coming with him. I said, really? And you are going to finish all your pujas and aartis and paraphernalia and preparing the garlands? I was surprised. How much this one devotee is going to do and cook? So I told my wife and my daughter-in-law and all, you better help this young, nice devotee to cook for Maharaj. So when we finished cooking and everything, and made the offering to the Lord, just then Maharaj entered with his friends and maybe his disciples and some other people. And then we sat down for prasadam, because Maharaj was also keen to have prasadam. It was quite late. And he had actually had a very quick bath. Maharaj was very fast. Even at that age, I was surprised. Like Radhanath Swami, you know. In the door 1 minute and next minute he's out. So I said, that's nice. Then I had the occasion to listen to Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. Because that's the whole purpose of going to Dwarka. Because anybody can go to Dwarka. Even a crow can go to Dwarka. So what's the use? The crow will never learn Krishna Katha or become transformed. His consciousness cannot be elevated. So we go to these holy dhams to elevate our consciousness to the level of Krishna consciousness, which is the highest. You cannot go to a higher consciousness than Krishna consciousness, because there is no competitor for Krishna, as the Shastra says, the highest level. So then Maharaj was so happy. It was very simple. We just had chapati, one sabji, dal and rice. But we all ate sumptuous prasadam. Then the discussion went on and on till late at night. And Maharaj had totally lost track of time. So then I realized, Prabhupada used to say, in the spiritual realm, like in Goloka Vrindavan, time is conspicuous by its absence of action. There is no feeling that there is time. Because when you are in the material world, you are looking every now and then at the watch. If I am a factory, when did the shift change? Or when the working in the office, kabhi 5 baje ka, I have to catch a train or a bus to go home. But in a spiritual run, you forget all concept of time. Because Krishna is time. Kalosmi, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So, Maharaj gave us a beautiful talk. I'll never forget that. And we learned a lot of nice things, just like this. He was very humorous, very, I would almost say, playful. Isn't it? Almost you felt that he wanted to play with Krishna, you know. Or he is an associate of Krishna. That is how I got the impression. Maybe rightly or wrongly. And one thing remarkable which I noticed between him and I used to fight Prabhupada, so I know Prabhupada in that sense from 1971 to 75, 4 years. But I noticed one thing. They were totally, totally, totally dedicated to Krishna. Krishna and no one else. Or koi nahi. Means Sarva dharma parityaga, mam ekam sharano ja, aham tvam swara papebhyo, mokshami masucha. They were personified of that shloka, 18.66. Prabhupada as well as Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. They are the personification of that shloka. I noticed that they had no, he had no, as very nicely said by Chandramouli Maharaj, he had no concept of fear. See, if you have a concept of fear, then you can have an element of fear. Or you can be fearful. Oh, what will anybody think? Why should I say like this? It'll have a wrong reaction. I'll be criticized. Or I may have problem. There's no problem. He just, whatever it was in his heart, he spoke. There was no filter. In the electronic language, we use the word filter. There was no question of removal of anything. Whatever was his heart, it came out. I'm sure he was guided by Paramatma within. So, indeed, I am very grateful that I have been requested to come here. I got invitation by another disciple of Mahavishnu, Goswami Maharaj. I want to use this word Goswami only, because the other Mahavishnu Swami is very much alive, and we shouldn't make this mistake. And we want to glorify him as much as we can and remember the wonderful things he taught us. He's now requested by Prabhupada to go and set up some other, temple in some part of the universe, wherever Prabhupada wants them. Because one by one, so many of Prabhupada's senior disciples and some others also have left us. And it's just like when Prabhupada went to America, he said that my Guru Maharaj is sending all these wonderful devotees. And then he said, Prabhupada said, they've never heard of Krishna before. Now, in a few years, they become pure Vaishnavas. So I'm sure Prabhupada needed very brilliant and bright and pure devotees. And maybe it's a tough thing where he has gone, because all the tough ones have gone there. Like Tamal Krishna Maharaj, whom I knew very well. He stayed with me even at the last stage of his life here on this earth. Then our Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. These are the real gems of Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Srinathji Prabhupada. Thank you so much for your entire glorification of Maharaj. Now we would request His Grace Shyamalal Prabhu to come over. Shyamalal Prabhu has a special benediction from Maharaj. In his last months in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, he had a very close association with Maharaj, and he was serving him personally and treating him. And Maharaj used to consider him like his own grandson, because he used to say that my grandson would be of his age. So,
Vancha kalpatru vishrupa sandhu bhayavacha patidhanam bhavane bhyo vaishnavi bhyo namaha. His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj ki jai. I feel very fortunate that Kalchakra Prabhu and everybody have invited me here to speak. And I also feel myself very fortunate that I had the opportunity to serve His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. My service was to treat him, but I hope you all heard the lecture. He was he was quite skeptical about doctors, so. I never approached him as a doctor. I tried to keep myself quite low. Although October that he got admitted, the first time I saw him, I told Devaki Nandan Prabhu and Vaishnav Seva Prabhu, his two very close disciples, I know, I'm sure Kalchakra Prabhu knows. So these two disciples were very close. So I asked both of them. I told them, look, from what I see as a doctor, I do think that it's not going to go long. I want to know what kind of treatment you want. Do you want very intensive treatment, ventilator, this, that? So they all said, no way, Prabhu, just try to give him the basics. If he takes it, you are blessed. And I was like, um, But I feel it was Srila Prabhupada's blessing and the deep desire of his very dear disciples that somehow Goswami Maharaj agreed to take a few medicines. His asthma had gone very severe. He had very severe leg pains and his age was definitely a big factor. All this apart, there was one time, he was there in the hospital for quite a long time. There was once, in the middle of the night, I got a call from Vaishnava Seva Prabhu saying that Maharaj is getting very restless. We reached there, 12 in the night, his oxygen levels were going down, and I was really feeling that this might be it. He would not make it the next morning. So we tried managing a few injections. Giving every injection to Maharaj was very difficult, but he accepted it. Next day morning, I didn't get a call after that. Next day morning, the first thing I said before going to the ICU, I said, I'll go to meet Maharaj just to see what is the whole situation. Is he still there? Can any of you imagine what he was doing? Guess. Yes. Exactly. Bhagavatam. He was sitting there and he was reading Bhagavatam. And he was asking Vaishnava Seva Prabhu, okay, read this again. Read this line again. And I'm like, what's this? This is too much for me. I mean, as a doctor, when we see somebody who's really sick and he's coming out of severe hypoxia, we say oxygen levels are low means severe hypoxia, you can't breathe. And if you get better, the next thing you tend to be a little mellow, you just try to breathe normally. It's not breathe normally or anything. He's just back. Bhagavatam. And as soon as I enter, you must have seen in this video, sometimes he opens his eyes wide like this. Zoom. So he opened his eyes wide at me and he said, Bhagavatam is the only way out. So, all said and done, but he always considered me his grandson. Whenever I went to him, before I could ask him something, he would ask me, did you eat your food? Did you get time to sleep? Are you able to chant your rounds? Do you have the time for this? Do you have time for that? Very caring. Extremely caring. And this was very unique about him. And everything he took in a tide of humor. He was always humorous about everything. He had this severe leg pain because he had this nervous problem in the back. Some surgeries done in the past. So he had this severe leg pain and the leg would have cramps such that very difficult to tolerate. And we would try to give him a few medications here, there, and he would just laugh at me and said, it's okay. If you can't, it's okay. I understand. And he would laugh it out. And to me, it was very, very surprising, very inspiring that despite all these pains, he still had the concern to ask me, how are you? Are you eating your prasadam? He was more concerned about me than his own health. That was really, I really felt very, what to say? I don't have words to say, but touched, I think. And his faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not just that we say that the tree is known by the fruits it yields. Of course, there is so much to say about His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, but in these 3 months, that October, November, December, a few days he was in Nasik and then he was brought back. What hit me the most was not just that he had deep faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he had transmitted it. Almost 100% into all his sincere disciples. And what desire they had to read the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this was what touched me the most. To be very honest, in my own way, I feel that working in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, I'm trying to serve my Gurudev. But after I saw Vaishnava Seva Prabhu and Devkinandan Prabhu serve His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, it was all my ego shattered to pieces. I really don't know when Vaishnava Seva Prabhu slept, because he always, whenever he had pain, Prabhuji would sit up, try to read something to him, try to tell something to him, quote shlokas from the first canto, some of his very favorite shlokas, I'm sure Kalachakra Prabhu knows. So Vaishnava Seva Prabhu had this, the moment he would get up, even in the middle of the night, Vaishnava Seva Prabhu would be up and he would be chanting shlokas. And Devkinandan Prabhu, he was traveling so much, I really don't know when he slept or when he had his prasad. And generally, when you're doing any kind of service, after the end of the service, you're like, service over. You're cooking, you're doing Sunday feast, you're doing this, that. Whatever it is, at the end, you feel, oh, finally it's over. But in Vaishnava Seva Prabhu and Devkinandan Prabhu, it was never that we have finished. No. After everything they did, they had this deep desire, we should do more, we should do more, we should do more. And that's what hit me the most, to be very honest, Kalachakra Prabhu. That deep desire to serve Gurudev, that deep desire to serve in whichever way he wants, whether it is just massaging his feet, whether it is reading Srimad Bhagavatam for him, chanting for him, whatever he wanted, they were there. In the middle of the night, in the middle of the afternoon, whatever time, they were there. So, honestly, I feel it was my great fortune that I could be in the association of such wonderful Vaishnavas. A lot that I have learned from them. And I really feel, as Devkinandan Prabhu said, you should be blessed that he's taking his medicines, but I don't feel blessed that he took my medicines. I feel blessed that I could be in the company of Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj and his dear, sincere disciples. What we read as uninterrupted, unmotivated, unconditional service. What we read in the Bhagavatam, I was seeing there in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, in his disciples, in Vaishnava Seva Prabhu and Devkinandan Prabhu. So thank you very much, Kalachakra Prabhu. And wherever Devkinandan Prabhu and Vaishnava Seva Prabhu is, I have my deep, deep honor, deep appreciation for them and gratitude that they still remember me for whatever I did. I don't think I did much, because Mahavishnu Maharaj, as Goswami Maharaj, as he said, he hardly had any faith in medicines. So I don't think I really did much. I just used to come, say Hare Krishna, yes Prabhu Maharaj, how are you? And then barely a few things here, there, and then go out. But I took more of Krishna conscious medicine, Krishna rasayan from them, rather than me giving some medicine to them, to Maharaj. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Prabhu. His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Man chakalpatar gashya upasana pe vach padana bhavane pe vaishnavi pe namana. I don't deserve to speak about Maharaj here, because I haven't served him personally, but my eagerness in coming here for this event is to know more about him from all of you. I have only met him in Pune twice. Once when he visited our temple in Pune, he gave the Srimad Bhagavatam class. And in the class, he was telling all our brahmacharis, look at all of you, all are wearing a full cum shirt, but I wear only sleeveless, you know. And he said, do you know why? He asked. And everybody was looking at each other, they couldn't find out. He said, I save the time for washing this much cloth. And then he said, we should do minimum for this material body and we should maximize Krishna time. So after that I learned this slogan. After the class he repeated it again. Minimize Maya time, maximize Krishna time. He said. So in that class, one of our brahmacharis asked a very serious question to Maharaj. He was talking about how Maya is powerful and how by taking shelter of Krishna we can very easily rise above Maya and everything. So one brahmachari asked a question, Maharaj, although I am a brahmachari in the ashram, I feel lusty, thoughts come in my mind and all, what should I do? And Maharaj told him, get married, he said. His face became very small. And then he said, Maharaj, actually I am not planning to get married. I want to be brahmachari. Is there any other solution? He asked. And Maharaj again said, get married again. He said. So then he kept quiet. He gave the mic to somebody else. And then Maharaj said, I will explain to you what I said. He said, when a boy marries a girl, you know, he puts a silk sari in her body and takes her around wherever he goes. He said, similarly, those who are Krishna's devotees, they like to, you know, wrap the Srimad Bhagavatam with a silk cloth and carry it always with them. He said, when I told you get married, I told you to get married to Srimad Bhagavatam. He said. And he said, you should be fond of Srimad Bhagavatam like a newly married man is fond of his newly wedded wife. You know? He said. And you should always carry it wherever you go. And then somebody counter-argued. One another devotee said, Maharaj, we carry Bhagavatam with us, but we don't get to study. We are so busy in services. And Maharaj said, who told you to read it? You just carry it, he said. He said, if you carry something with you, you will really want to open it and read at least a page. You just carry it with you, he said. That was the first time when he came to Pune. After that, another time when he came for a very short while, he wanted to meet one doctor devotee in Pune, one Krishna Maharaj and all. In that connection, he was selling something in Rajkot regarding some Ayurvedic hospital he was selling. He had some vision, he had some plan to through a hospital and also have devotees come there and all he was selling. So then I was standing just outside the temple and he was telling me, do you know why the Ayurvedic medicines are so powerful? He asked me. Then I said, yes, Maharaj, it is true. You know, it has come from the hand of Dhanvantri. No, I said. He said, yes, they are impregnated with the power of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu has empowered them. But he said, whenever you eat Ayurvedic medicine, you should always say Vishnu, Vishnu. And then when you eat, remembering the Lord, then you will get the mercy of the Lord in curing the disease, he said, when he was standing. So that was the second time I met him. And I also have acquaintance with Devakinandan Prabhu from Singapore. I had written a mail to him inviting him to Pune. So he gave a Sunday feast lecture and one Bhagavatam lecture in the temple. And Devakinandan Prabhu told me one amazing thing, how Mahavishnu Maharaj used to keep touch with many disciples over phone, personally guiding them, anytime they call him. And it was so nice to hear. And I could see the Guru Bhakti and Devakinandan Prabhu, Guru Nishtha, and so much love for the spiritual master. In fact, in Prabhupada Leelamrita, I read that the disciple always carries a spiritual master with him in his heart, wherever he goes. Just like wherever you go, the moon comes with you in the night. In the same manner, the Guru travels with the sincere disciple who has completely adopted the instructions of the Guru in his life and lives a very pure life. He carries Guru everywhere. And that's what is the reason for the disciples becoming empowered by the Guru and wanting to please the Guru, wanting to surrender to Guru more and more, endeavoring to give shape to the desires of his Guru. A disciple becomes completely absorbed in the thought of Guru, and that kind of thinking makes him a pure devotee eventually. So I saw that in Devikanandan Prabhu and subsequently in Kala Chakra Prabhu when he came and gave us wonderful classes in Pune. I'm very feeling fortunate to be here with all of you on this occasion. My coming was not to come and give a big presentation here, because I have never served Maharaj and I don't deserve to be sitting standing on the dais here. But I feel very blessed to be with all of you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Is there anyone else who would like to come and speak about Maharaj or any interactions that you had with Maharaj? Otherwise, I can share one or two incidents that may be of interest here. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Mahavishnu Goswami Nitinamni. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamni. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarani. So many of us have heard about Maharaj since morning. Radhanath Maharaj gave a beautiful glimpse of Maharaj's life. As we all have heard, even Srinaji Prabhu was telling about Maharaj having come in the seventh generation Vaishnava family. So there are a lot of things that Maharaj used to share with us when we were with him personally serving, or just he will take us around and he will share about his parents and grandparents and so on. He will be lost in the thoughts and say those things in such a humorous way. And how they were all so simple in their lives, and it's really like for us it looks like they were from different planets really. So one of the things that Maharaj shared, Devikanandan Prabhu shared this also with us because he personally heard it from Maharaj. Maharaj had a stroke in the year 2000 in London, and at that time he was bedridden, and he shared this thing that about himself to Devikanandan Prabhu, and subsequently he shared it with us. Maharaj, when he was young, his father told him a couple of things. One is, you sing very nicely, you have a very nice bhakti voice, and the second thing he said is, you are very handsome. As Chandramali Maharaj also said that he looked like 50 even though he was almost 77. His voice is so young, and even at 90 he was almost speaking like this. So his father told him that these are two qualities which no one can take away from you. Like, you are a very beautiful singer, and you are very handsome. So then another thing happened was that when he was a very young boy, he was living in one of the villages outskirts of Bombay, and his father used to take him to the market, and where they sell all those things, Tuesday markets and Sunday markets and so on. So there, one of these persons will bring the bull, and the bull is like, he will sing some Bhagavad Gita verses or Bhagavatam or some bhajans verses like that, and the bull will shake its head according to the tune. And if it sings fast, it will shake fast, otherwise it will shake slowly and all that. And then the people will gather around the bull and this person. And so this person will now ask, find out who is a pure devotee here. And sometimes the bull will go around, and if it doesn't find a pure devotee, it will come back. And then sometimes it will go a little late and find somebody. So Maharaj's father wanted to show this to his son when he was about 8-10 years old. So he took him to that market, and that person, as usual, sang some verses and asked him find a pure devotee in this group. And the bull, without any second thoughts, went straight and stood in front of Maharaj. And then Maharaj shared this thing in his own humorous way in the hospital when he was attacked. In paralytic attack, he said, everybody knew that I could sing a song, I could sing very nicely, everybody knew that I am handsome, but only the bull knew that I was a pure devotee. So like this, he used to share a lot of his in a very humorous way, and we all and he would say how his grandfather would they because they were from Vallabh Sampradaya, they used to have this Laddu Gopal worship, and from his family they used to have 17, 18 Laddu Gopals total, that they every day his grandfather used to do Abhishek. And he was very small, like 8, 10 years, 12 years, maximum 8, 10 years. So what his grandfather would do is every Gopal he would take, put in the water, wash, and then like that. And it will be almost 2 o'clock by the time they get done. And his grandmother used to be patiently cooking everything. And one day what happened, they were all playing, Maharaj was all playing, and then his grandfather was doing the Abhishek. And he counted, when he took out, he counted there are only 16 Gopals, one Gopal was missing. So he was trying to find out, and then his grandfather sent all this person. Maharaj was born in a family of almost, I think, 12 brothers and sisters, and he was the eldest son in the family, and above him was only one, elder to him was only one sister, and she is still there. And so he was like, they were all playing, and his grandfather ordered all of them to go around and search. And he was asking him to go to the next room and search. And Maharaj, as a young boy, he asked, Dada, the Gopal must be lost here only. Why are you asking me to search there? And then his grandfather would shout at him, you are a Kali Yuga product. Just do what I say. And Maharaj would say that if that living entity would come now and see all of you people, he will go jump into the ocean, tie a stone around his neck so that even his dead body doesn't come out. And they were searching all over. They were not able to find. And it was 2, 3 o'clock, and his grandmother was fighting, no, why are you making this? Why are you delaying it so much? And then grandfather would shout at his grandmother that, why don't you eat? And then grandmother would again shout back at his grandfather saying, how can I eat without you are eating? I cannot eat before you. So he would say that, you know, even in this fight, they were Vedic fights. There were no... So they were fighting like this, and it was almost end of the day. All of them were fasting. They were all searching all over the house. And it was quite dark. And in the evening, his sister went to pour that water, Abhishek water, into Tulsi plant backyard. And there she was finding this shining. And when they were offering the lamp, they found that that 17th Gopal was sitting there. So Maharaj said, we finally got the Gopal and we all had our prasadam. So like this, he would quote many of these incidents from his young age that would be really astonishing to us. And he'll say, his father will always be cursing that you are Kali Yuga product. And he'll ask, why Dada, you are Kali Yuga? I'm finding everything is all right. Why you are so much cribbing? He said, you are sitting in front of me without a cap, you are Kali Yuga product. That, you know, they have to wear the cap. So, and he used to say that in his village there was only one policeman. And that policeman was also staying there only to put that every 1 hour you have to go and hit the bell. That's the only time they will know that, okay. And he thought that this policeman was meant only to hit the bell and not to hit the people. And so he was grown in that kind of a thing, and we were astonished how Maharaj could really bridge between that generation and this generation, where we were all with all cell phones and Facebooks and all these things. So you want to, anybody else is there? So 5 minutes I can take? Okay. So we'll finish it off in 5 minutes. Looks like we'll close it off with a small kirtan also. So Maharaj, like this, he was like growing up in... his formative years were in Nashik, where he had his family, and he used to be very hardworking. And he used to, even in those days, he knows Bhagavad Gita by heart. And that is why even when in his last days, he used to stay in Nashik many times, and we got some opportunity to serve him there. And
we will see that he will always be reciting Bhagavad Gita every time. The moment he gets up from his bed, he will start reciting Bhagavad Gita. And he goes into the bathroom, you will just keep hearing the water pouring, but the verses will just keep flowing. And after that, you will come out. And one of the hardest service that we can get from him is washing his clothes. When he went from Bhaktivedanta Hospital, just 1 month before his passing, he went back to Nashik. Personal servant Sundar Gopal Prabhu told that the next day he was washing his clothes from Bhaktivedanta Hospital when he went back home. And he would never let us wash his clothes. He said, "You guys are violent. You people, you don't know how to wash clothes." And he was so particular about washing clothes, even folding clothes. He taught me once how to fold clothes. He said, "You have to take the crease like this from here to here, and you fold it, and two folds, and keep it in a corner." And he said the benefit of that. He said, "This cloth, if he is lying down like a bunch of peas in the corner, it is violence. You are doing violence to the clothes. So don't do that violence. Keep it in a corner so that it is all stacked nicely. And then as soon as you stack it out, it's out of your mind. Then your mind is free for Bhagavatam." Everything he will connect to Bhagavatam. Everything he will connect to Bhagavatam like that. So Maharaj struggled hard and he moved to London. And in London, as we heard from all the senior devotees, he was doing his business. And after the business thing, then he met Prabhupada. And there is a pillar like this in Soho Street. Only one pillar will be there in that small room. And Maharaj used to sit there from morning to evening, and he will just read Bhagavatam. And that pillar is famous even now. If you go to Soho Street temple, they will say, "Where is Mahavishnu Goswami pillar?" They will show that this is Mahavishnu Goswami pillar. It is almost informally named that way. And Maharaj traveled around a lot. He built the temple in Dwarka. In Dwarka, I will finish with this incident alone. In Dwarka, as you all know, famous that the earthquake happened on the 26th of January, 2001, right? That's the day the Bhumi Puja was to be conducted. As you know, 26th of January is always fixed for Ratyatra in Dwarka. So that's the day the Bhumi Puja was supposed to be conducted, and Ananta Shesh was to be installed there. And there is a two-floor tall building that is a guest house, very old, dilapidated building. And this building, Maharaj used to sit on the topmost floor. And center building is for the guests, and the down floor is for Rukmini Dwarkadish, who temporarily were there. Devotees did Mangalarti, and Maharaj was sitting up and meeting some guests. And in the ground floor, they were all chanting, devotees were chanting. And suddenly at about 8 o'clock, they started feeling as if the whole room is moving round and round. And they were feeling a bit giddy and like shaking sound and all that. They thought that some bulldozer was going across. And then later, suddenly they heard somebody, people crying out, "Bhukam, earthquake, Bhukam, earthquake," and everybody was running around. And devotees were not sure what's happening. And suddenly some of the devotees started remembering that, "Oh, Maharaj is in the top floor. We have to go and bring him down." And there Maharaj was sitting with a group of devotees, and he was just speaking, and suddenly he heard and they all were hearing this Bhukam, Bhukam, and then the devotee started to go get up and run. And Maharaj said, "You please sit down here right now. Don't jump out. You just sit here right now and chant Hare Krishna." And then he started chanting Hare Krishna, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. "You are dying now. Chant Hare Krishna, you'll go back to Goloka Vrindavan." And the devotees were wondering what to do. They couldn't really accept it, And then one of the devotees ran upstairs somehow or other to bring Maharaj down. And when he went, Maharaj caught hold of him and put, "You also sit here and chant Hare Krishna." And that devotee said, "That's the first time I repented taking initiation from Maharaj." Of course, in a lighter tone. Of course, at that time, he couldn't really understand what's happening. And then the whole thing got over in a few minutes. The interesting thing was, this is one of the most dilapidated buildings. Now they have destroyed it because it couldn't stand anymore. And all the other new buildings got destroyed completely. But this one, there was not a single crack. And then Maharaj came down, and the rest of the puja was all done. And then Maharaj said, "Today I saw the fear of death in all your eyes." Today is the time when you had actually chanted. And then he said in a very interesting tone also that it is nothing really. You are trying to install Ananta Shesh and you are shaking to find if the earth is strong or not for him. So this is how pure devotees see the world, you know. We have a lot more to say, but however, limitation of time, and we are not allowed to do kirtans after 10. And so in this thing, I would like to see if anyone else would like to speak. Or Sudarshan, you want to speak 1 or 2 minutes about Maharaj? So, Kripanavatsal Prabhu, you had some experience with Maharaj. Vinay Shailmad, you would like to speak something? They all are speaking to Maharaj in their hearts. Actually, this is a very poignant time for me because for me, the first time I heard about Radha Gopinath Mandir was in 1999. When I was in Minneapolis, I had one nice friend. He is now serving very nicely in Pittsburgh. His name is Shamsundar Prabhu. Some of you might have heard him. He is from Bombay, but he's been serving in US for a long time. He served in New Vrindavan for a long time. So we used to have a lot of nice time together, just the two of us. We were in Minneapolis, there was nobody there. And we were the temple president, we were the GBC, we were the cook, we were the audience, we were the everything, we were there, we were doing it, you know, in that sense. And I fondly remember him for that. And that time he used to tell about Radha Gopinath Mandir a lot. And I always had the desire to come here and do some service. And you won't believe it, this is the first time I am coming. Krishna's arrangement, I traveled all over the world, but I couldn't come to here. I had to have 12 years of purification to come here. So, and that too for the glorification of Maharaj, and hear from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj, Srinathji Prabhu, Jayashil Prabhu, and all of them, and all of you, Radhesham Prabhu, and you know, Gaurang Prabhu, Shyamlal Prabhu, all of you. So, I mean, it's a very interesting thing for me because I have grown up in Krishna consciousness, hearing all these great sannyasis like His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, then His Holiness Ganapati Maharaj in US, and then, of course, my spiritual master. And Maharaj always used to say, Radha Gopinath Mandir is famous all over the three worlds. It is famous all over the three worlds. And you say the cultivation is the best. And he always was glorifying that the beautiful way that devotional service is done here, the meticulously and perfect management. Even small things he used to say. Once he came inside for the temple, and I think one of the devotees carried a glass of water in a plate, in one plate and top glass of water. And Maharaj immediately said, "See, this is Krishna consciousness. You are taking care of the devotees so nicely." So like this, there are so many instances where Maharaj used to appreciate anywhere, not only Radha Gopinath Mandir, anywhere, and used to always point out the good things in everywhere. And his instructions were always that, you know, you see good, good, good in everyone, you become good. You see bad in everyone, you become bad. So we really feel grateful to all of you. And this is a... On one hand, we have had so much of personal association with Maharaj. He used to have a secretary. Any calls, he would pick up and himself he will answer. And now we feel that, you know, our relationship with him was always that he used to give missed calls and we will call him back. And when we don't call, he will chastise us. "Why don't you call me?" Once he called me from London at 3 o'clock in the morning in London time. I was about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I was driving to the office, and I suddenly saw Maharaj calling, and it was a UK number, you know. I couldn't call him back immediately. So I picked up the phone, stopping my vehicle, and immediately said, the first thing I was saying, "Please accept my apologies." He didn't even hear that. He just shouted at me left and right, "Why are you not calling me? I was waiting for your call. Why are you not calling me?" And I said, "Maharaj, I didn't have your number. The whole world knows my number. Why can't you get it from us?" Every answer I gave was like, you know, cut off like that, you know. And I said, "Maharaj, I had some work." Then he said, "Okay, that's fine. If you have work, that is first thing." And Maharaj always used to make these famous statements: if your boss is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. So work hard. Don't try to take shelter of Krishna consciousness just because you don't want to work. It was so hard. No, like, it was very difficult to understand, accept some of his statement, but that is the way it was. As Maharaj was telling, he was so bold, he didn't care what you think, because he had very less time. He always said, I am living on borrowed time. So, thank you very much. And we will just now have first Pushpanjali, then, first Pushpanjali. Oh, you on the along with the Arati you want to do. Okay, fine. So, Arati will go on. Along with that, we will have devotees coming and offering flowers to Maharaj. Thank you so much again. We will remember this forever in our life. This great moment. Thank you. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj ki. Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Gurudev ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki. Nitai Gaur Premanande.